second part of a message by David E. Ball entitled National Economy, Money Failure.
This means that it's a combination effect now. It takes the move of the Holy Spirit and your activity or action. The best example of this I heard in a church in Akron, Ohio. Now, I didn't like it the first time I heard it. It made me mad. The more I thought about it, the more I liked it. This is the example. Young man out in his garden, hoeing the garden. Preacher came by and said, "Oh my, young man, that's a beautiful garden. Well, look at all the vegetables and the things that God has given to you. Why isn't God good to give you such a beautiful garden here?" The fellow stopped and he leaned on his hoe and looked at him and said, "Well, Rector, God is very good for giving me this marvelous and beautiful garden. But Pastor, you should have seen this weed patch when he had it all to himself."
I wonder what.
Now, what are we getting at? What are we trying to say here? It takes a hand-in-hand, going along together effort. Now, you see, God is sovereign and could do anything he wanted to. You know that. But for some reason that is beyond me, he's chosen to use men. He could have, with a stroke of his hand, with a command of his voice, caused the angels to cause everybody to be saved, and we would have been saved. But that's not his plan. I don't understand it. You know, if I was God, I'd handle things a lot differently. Aren't you glad I'm not? Well, I'm glad you're not either, so.
Anybody else.
You know, we get all kinds of stupid ideas up here. God's got a better plan. And he's decided to use men in his plan. So it takes a man to plow, and it takes a man to plant, and it takes a man to cultivate, and you see what I'm doing? And it takes a man to harvest. So God by himself, I don't mean to say that God produces weeds, but the ground produces weeds. Well, when God and the man get together, boy, you get something valuable. Hand in hand, getting the job done. See what I'm talking about? So then it takes not only the move of the Holy Spirit on the Word, it takes a man reading the Word. A man has to be burning the candle. He has to be up late at night. He has to be studying. See what I'm talking about? What's the first Psalm say? Why, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It says, talks about why his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, you see. And so the answer here is a meditation or a work in the word or the law of the Lord. But a man can meditate in that law every day of his life and come out wrong until he's moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Oh, so important. So whenever you study, whenever you come to any kind of relationship with the Word of God, always invite the Holy Spirit to engraft that Word. Okay, we'll move on. Daniel 8, chapter 6. In Daniel 8, Daniel chapter 8, verse 6. I said I'm wrong. 8, 6. Now you could start in 8, 1, but I'm jumping to hurry things up. In verse 6, we find that a goat came to a ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and it was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before the goat. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Now it doesn't say goat in years right there, but it says goat a few verses in front. And the he-goat waxed very great, and he was strong. The great horn was broken, and forth came up four notable ones for to fall into heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said to that certain saint which spake, "How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?" And he said unto me, "Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Verse 20 now. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Greek. And the great horn that's between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand out of that nation, but not in his power. Okay. I was staying in Matthew chapter 24, where it speaks of the abomination that maketh desolate. Let him that hath understanding understand. I said, God, I don't understand. I had been asking that question for 2 years. Lord, I want understanding. I think it was in Timothy where he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What?
James.
And God, he'll give it to you liberally. Won't even upbraid you for not even knowing the answer. So I discovered, number one, it's not an insult not to know. Praise God. If you say, I don't know, God's got a chance. Once you say, I got the answer, it's pretty hard to change your mind. So I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know about this abomination that maketh desolate. And he says, spoken of in Daniel the prophet. And I go back and I'm reading in chapter 12, and I'm reading in chapter 9, trying to figure out, what is this, Lord? What is this abomination that maketh desolate? While I had this Bible on that desk in there with these two elbows on each side of it, and I was holding my head and my eyes were closed, and I was praying. I said, now Lord, I've asked you for 2 years for wisdom and understanding in this, and you said let anybody who needs it, and him that has understanding, and I don't have it, and I've asked you for it, and you said you'd give it, and you haven't given it. Where's the understanding that I might understand this abomination to make it desolate, and these numbers and these figures and how it all fits together? While I was in the act of praying, my wife, Betty, received the mail. The mail had come in the door, the slot, and she had taken the National Geographic, slipped it out of the little wrapper that comes in, brought it in, and laid it on top of my Bible between my two elbows that were holding up my head, and it was opened. She had just opened it, and there's no way of telling. I think she opened it on purpose to that page, but who knows. And on top of my Bible was a picture, when I opened my eyes, Alexander the Great, the first king of Grecia, had attacked the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, and it showed in detail a picture and a complete write-up of all the details, including the dates when he did this thing. I looked at that, and I said, praise God, I've got an answer. The answer to my very prayer at the moment that I was praying it. If any man lack wisdom, he'll ask it. God will give it to him. But I'll tell you the truth. I'm sure I must have read something a long time ago about Alexander the Great, but I don't remember it. I don't remember anything in school about the kingdom of Grecia and Alexander the Great. And I'll tell you, I don't remember the year 334 B.C., but I remember it now. Because it said that in 334 B.C., the king of Grecia came out of the west like a prancing goat and came against the Medes and the Persians and took the kingdom from them, and that great battle was 334 B.C. And I said, thank you, Lord. Now I'm tuned into something. Now I've got something to work on. So I took the year 2300. I wrote down 2300. You see in verse 14, go back to verse 14 just a minute. You see where it says, how long shall it be until the sanctuary is cleansed? You see that question there in verse 14? It says, it'll be 2300 days. And remember, sometimes a day is a year, and sometimes a day is 1,000 years. Well, if you turn a day for 1,000 years, that comes out about 2 million years, and I figured that wasn't right. 2 million years seems too long to me. Are you with me in 14? So I just wrote 2300, and I subtracted 334 from it, because it's a B.C. date. And I'm going to find out what year A.D. would be 2,300 years later from when he did this. Now, you follow me, then in verse 6 it prophesies he's going to do it. In verse 14 it says, well, how long is this sanctuary going to be dirty? And he says, the sanctuary is going to be dirty, and by inference, the truth in the host as well. Although, it doesn't exactly say, but it infers the whole picture. Truth, host, and sanctuary are going to be dirty, and pressure, and unclean for 2,300 periods of time. Remember now, we change days or whatever. We can run a period of time, one period of time, we try it out. In this case, we try a day for a year. Now, if we take 2,300, subtract 334 from it, it comes out 1,966. But you add one because you went from BC to AD, and it comes out 1,967. This, then, is Daniel's prophecy. That in 1967, the sanctuary would be cleansed. Would you tell me what happened on June the 7th, in 1967?
The Israelites reconquered Jerusalem, the area of the temple.
And the temple came back to the nation, that one God that believes in that one true God, and out of they were the Israelites, not the Muslims, and they took the temple site. Now, over here is a picture on the wall. The Barbara, I almost said Grunin, Barbara Grunin's urn. It was back then, wasn't it, Grunin? And painted for us. And the Golden Dome is the location of that temple site. And Daniel was quite interested in Jerusalem, and especially Mount Moriah, the temple site. Very, very important temple site. So Daniel says that if you'll wait till 1967, now do you see how they get that? Wait 2,300 years, and it'll be 1967, and it'll be restored. Now do you think that's a coincidence? Well, I'm ready to have me a glory spell right there. I mean, that's worth having a goosebump or two right it off, you know, to see that Daniel not only prophesied hundreds of years before Alexander the Great that there would be a king of Grecia, that would come down and take the kingdoms from the Medes and Persians, but even prophesied that he would have four generals who would take his kingdom after he died and divide it. And sure enough, history proves that Alexander, when he died, after Alexander died, his four generals took the kingdom and divided it in four sections, just exactly like it says. The four horns came up after him and took the kingdom and divided it up. Now, that ought to give you another goosebump on top of your goosebump. Amen. The 200 years or 700 years before it happened, he prophesied it. Now we find a doubling of the prophecy because he says, if you'll take those events and relate those events 2,300 years later, you'll come into some more end time. End time. Friends, the beginning of the end is June the 5th, 1967. Hear me. The last day started June the 5th, 1967. Write that down. Quote me. I'll stick my neck down on it. June the 5th, 1967, the beginning of the end, the last days. You and I are living in the last days. And by faith I stand as a candidate to be alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. Almost missed it a few months ago. But praise God, he sent me back and gave me a few instructions. And by the grace of God, I'm going to do what he said to do. And I'm going to be alive and remain with the coming of the Lord. I believe that. I had a little brush, but that's over with. Now, I want to take one other subject because I think there's a little confusion. I could see something in your eyes then. How did that turn 1966 and 1967? Because most people think the calendar goes like this. 2 BC, 1 BC, 0. 1 AD, 2 AD, 3 AD. The calendar doesn't do that. You're wrong. I'm sorry you goofed. You just didn't know. Now there's nothing wrong with not knowing, as long as you admit it. The calendar has no year zero. Now, any algebraic expression starts with a year zero. Everything starts with a zero. The end of a ruler starts with zero. Did you know that? The end of every ruler is zero, and if your ruler doesn't start with zero, it's because it's broke. And I'd get a new one. I'd always get me a ruler that starts with zero. And I'd go so many years to the right. in positive ways, or J factors, I'd go to the negative, on the left, from my zero. But the calendar, those who made the calendar, left out zero. So it goes minus 2 BC minus 1 BC plus 1 AD plus 2 AD. Do you see what I'm talking about? And no, you're zero. So in algebraic expression, if I started from minus 2 and moved 5 units over to the right, I'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'd come up with plus 3. Isn't that marvelous? 3 plus 2 equals 5. Brilliant. But in the calendar, it doesn't work that way. 5 from a minus 2, starting from a minus 2, moving 5 over, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you come to a plus what?
4.
You take, normally, 5 minus 2 is 3. But on the calendar, it's 5 minus 2 is 3 plus 1 is 4. You add 1 when you're going from BC to AD. Is that simple enough? You got me here? So you take 2300, take 334 from it, 1966, plus 1, 1967. And he said in the year 1967, the year from the beginning to the end, the restoration. Now you ought to be getting goosebumps, because we'll restore the truth. He'll restore the host and the sanctuary. The host is God's army. And I'd like for you to entertain the thought for a moment that the host are sons of God, joined with Christ, those who are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now in the lives of most of my friends, most every friend that I've talked to, if he can relate back to the middle of 67, the summer of 67, major changes happened in your life. Your life, the summer of 67. The summer of 1967, major changes began to happen. Now, you may not have noticed it right at first. Maybe your boss decided to fire you and didn't fire you until a little later or something like that. Or maybe promote you, who knows why. And it was a fall or something, who knows. But the decision, the initial actions, you follow what I'm saying, were taken early in that year in the lives of my friends. And so many, many friends throughout the whole world as I travel witness and identify to a major change in their lives that summer. Now you're still feeling the effect of that change because all the truth has not been restored. All the change has not happened. The purging and cleansing of the sanctuary is still going on, you see. The restoration of the host and the truth is a progressive thing. Are you following? And started in 67. Now, I want to relate, and if you want to, you can copy these dates down. And this is a review, but it doesn't hurt. Alexander the Great. Now, this may sound wrong to you. You may not like what I'm doing. But don't find fault until you're sure you ought to. Is that fair? Huh? In other words, after you leave here tonight, if you think, oh, that's pretty, he shouldn't have done that, he shouldn't have done acted like that, then I would ask you, rather, I want you to just wrap this up and put it on the shelf and start throwing it out. And please don't walk all over this or tell everybody how wrong it is, because you might want to take it down. It might be very good for you later on. It tells us in the Bible to watch Alexander the Great. I didn't say that. The Bible did. Now, come on, did it? Huh? Oh, come on now. Verse 21. Verse 21. The goat is the king of Grecia. The first horn is that first king. And it says, watch these events. And relate these events to 2,300 years later. Now, the one event that's 2,300 years later is this 334 B.C., and it says that in 1967, sanctuary be cleansed. But I went to the library and got a whole lot of other numbers on this column right here, dates in Alexander the Great's life. Found out he was born in 356 B.C. That's 1945, if you move it 2,300 years later. See where I'm driving at? You just move that 2,300 years later. In 338 B.C., his father was killed, and that's 1963. In 356 B.C., he visited the oracle of the Temple of Apollo. Revelation chapter 9. And they had a king over them, whose name in the Hebrew tongue was Abaddon, but the Greek tongue had his name Apollyon, a direct Apollo. I mean, it's exactly the same word, Apollo,
which means destroyer.
965. 334 B.C., he invaded Persia, 967. 332 B.C., he went to Egypt, went to Ammon, where he met the ram-horned Zeus, or goat-horned Zeus, and all the coins of the Greek Empire show Alexander with goat horns coming out of his head. Do you think that's a coincidence that the Bible said that this goat, hundreds of years before?
Zeus,
spell
backward, is Zeus.
Oh, all right.
Another happy thought,
right? I thought of that, all right, Zeus.
That's pretty good.
Tyre, he invaded Tyre in 332 and took Jerusalem, the same date. And, that's the same as 969. And in 331, Persia's greatest army fell, and that's 1970. And in 330, his greatest enemy was killed, and that's 1971. You see what I'm saying? What year is this? 1971, and I'm trying to show a pattern here, please. In 326, India fell, which was his last enemy, and that'd be 1975. And in 325, he got wounded in the lungs because his success went to his head. Oh, he did a real stupid thing. He and two other soldiers went out to take a town of 3,000 people. I mean, he and two other soldiers, because he got cocky, he'd been so successful in all his other battles, he and two other soldiers went to take a town of, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 people, and they shot him! And he nearly died in 1976. In 334, a most fascinating and amazing thing happened. There was a marriage. He married the daughter of Darius, Darius, I guess, in a sense. And 80 of his captains married 80 Persian princesses. And 10,000 of his men married 10,000 Persian women, all at the same ceremony, all at the same time. The marriage of the goat. You get on that in a minute. And at 323, he died, being 32 or 33 years old, which would bring up a date of 1978. Now, if we are to use Alexander the Great as a pattern and project from major events in his life 2,300 years later, we can follow some concepts concerning the nation Israel first. We've already noticed 1967, you know, their big war. You may not remember, but Israel really started in 1945. Now, most people think 48, but really that's when they were recognized by the UN. But the nation Israel started in 1945 when ships, massive ships of the immigrants, started their return. In 1963, Israel's father died. I forget his name. I'll have to go back and find that and write that in. In 1965,
not Ben Gurion.
No, I think it was either a Wiseman or a Heitz Herzl. Huh?
Theodore Herzl?
Herzl. I don't know, I'm not that much up, but there's one. Herzl. Does that sound right to you? Okay. Do you see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to, if you think these are coincidences and we run out of coincidences,
you can't convince me this is a coincidence, Mr. I know too much. This can't be a coincidence.
In 1967, they had the Great War, and they got the temple back, and it says the sanctuary would be returned or cleansed. This oracle. In 65 and 69, there should have been some supernatural prophecies to the heads of the Israel nation. We don't know what they are yet, but I'm convinced they got them anyway. In 1970, Persia's greatest army fell, nations should expect their enemies to start losing power. And they just started fighting each other. And Arab started fighting Arab right at that time. And in 71, Darius was killed and Nasser died. How's that grab you? I mean, right down the line, you know, let's face it, let's do this. Oh, by the way, on this side of the chart, give me plus or minus one and I'll tell you why. Over here, I'm depending on the accuracy of the historian. Do you understand me? I don't have any idea if these are right numbers. All I know is I got them out of Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, I don't know how they can figure out what happened in 326 B.C., I'll tell you. But if they're right, I'm right on this side. Because the Bible's right, and whatever happened 2,300 years later is a progression or projection of the end time. You follow me? So that these numbers, you ought to give me a little leeway on them. Also, we don't know which calendar to use. We could be using your and my calendar. We could be using the Jewish calendar. So give me a time frame at the end of the year. Do you see what I'm telling you? So that these numbers are not solid, rock-solid numbers. They're approximate numbers based on the accuracy of the historian and based on which calendar and all the other things. Does that sound like I'm trying to hedge? No, I'm not trying to hedge. I'm just trying to tell, give the facts. Now, we don't know what's going to happen to Israel in the future, but let's talk about you. I think that in 1967, you should have had a major change in your life. I don't know what it was. How many witness with me that they had a major change in their lives? Raise your hands. Okay, turn around. Just leave your hands up, please. Leave your hands up. The rest of you, turn around. Would everybody turn around, please? Would everybody just look around? Whatever. Okay, put your hands down. Now, we don't have enough time to go through everyone's own life, to go into the prophecies. But I would say that, well, at least 80 or 90% of these people had a major change at this time. And the reason I wanted the hands up and I wanted you to see this is that I wanted you to see that we're not just batting the breeze. This is very real. Now, in 1969, you should have had some supernatural change in your life through from a supernatural oracle or a source or a prophecy. I don't know, something. So you got some information. Something happened to you in 69. In 70, you should have overcome a great army, the greatest army, the greatest force. But in 1971, your greatest enemy. What I'm trying to say is this. It may not appear this way to you now, but you're headed toward victory. And the circumstances that are occurring in your life at this moment are taking you on to glory unto glory, victory unto victory. And you're headed, listen, if you're in this host, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
This is victory all the way. This is you're on the victory trail, and you're headed toward victory. Now, in 1971, your worst enemy should die. You should find that your greatest, hardest battle was last year. The most effort, right?
That's right.
The most effort should have been last year. Give me a plus or minus a little bit here.
This message by David Ebal, entitled National Economy, Money Failure, will continue on cassette number 2.